There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, John, and, oh, as we join for the 50, you know what? I just did my intro for our normal podcast, not the 50. Wow. Anyway, so this is a 50, it's 50, and I'm going through puberty all of a sudden. 50-day countdown to Dragon Con podcast director Thingy Madoohickey. Of course, as joining me as always, and now I'm trying to talk properly, is Lee.
Do your best on that, sweetheart.
Take over.
Hi, it's Lee.
Yeah, you gotta do more than that.
The three guys sitting around with the bad cucumbers are. That's you guys, what is it, Sunday night when you all do werewolf and munchkin and all that?
Sure.
Okay, yes. Go with that.
Actually, we...
Do you know how many we did of these so far? By the time we end up this time, how many we'll have done?
By the time we're done, we'll probably about... Oh, probably have 20, I guess.
21, if I am counting correctly.
Oh, really?
I think it's right at 21. I am maybe screwing up, but I honestly, yeah, I think it's about 21.
Okay. You're probably right.
That's kind of wow.
You're the one behind the scenes again. Lee is the one who takes care of all the scheduling. I just provide the recording equipment.
Which means all of a sudden she goes, oh, crap. I got to find somebody to talk to. And you hear the woman laughing on the line is because Lee, real life got in the way and work and all those things that pay the bills so I can come to Dragon Con. And we kind of missed a podcast with her. But then she said it was better. She was being very, very gracious, as she always is, the most gracious person. One of the most gracious at con is Bev with Young Adult Lit, who is talking to us tonight. So hi, Bev.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Okay.
Good. We are good. We are. We can't. Dev, it's how many days, John? 15?
As of recording
bring
this.
That up.
Yes.
You sure?
Just a day.
Not very many.
A day
it's
over 2 weeks.
It's 14 until Thursday night, though.
Is it?
Yeah. Not too many.
Yeah. Well,
let's go with that number. We like that number better. So, Bev, you are the director of Young Adult Lit. How long have you been director now? Approximately.
Let me think. I've probably been doing this gig for about, I don't even know, 6 or 8 years maybe?
Because I was going to think you and I became directors at about the same time. So, yeah, about 6, 8, 7 or 8. Yeah. Wow.
Something like that. A couple years now.
If somebody can find out whenever you saw the name Lee as a director or Bev as a director, we'd love to know that. We've lost all count of it. So if you happen to know, that would be great.
Just so I'm clear.
I think my first year may have been 2004 as a director.
Well, see, now, I know this is my, I actually think this is my 14th year volunteering.
Uh-huh.
Because this will be my son. My son is 12, and I know I brought him when he was right at 6 weeks old.
Right.
So that gives me 12.
Okay, I'm just a geek enough that I have files. So, yeah, 2004 was my first year as a director.
2004. Wow.
Yep. Okay. And I think I started volunteering in, years before that. So I think I'm coming up on somewhere between 10 and 15 in that area.
Yeah. I'm just,
probably
okay.
Closer to 15 and 10.
Sorry, having a little bit of a walk down memory lane. Yes, John, what would you like to say?
Oh, I was just going, first of all, I was going to say, let's just make sure I understand that you don't actually know when you started.
No.
No, okay. I want to make sure that it's all just a blur.
I can count. I think my first Dragon Con that I came to was 1995.
Wow.
And then I probably came for about 3 years before I started volunteering. So after you do this for a little while, they kind of all start to run together.
Well, and only reason I know that the first year I came, and that's because Regina has helped me understand this, is I came, my first year at Dragon Con was 96, and that was the last time Dragon Con was only in one hotel, and it was at the Hilton.
Right.
Said I was the last time it was at the Hilton, and Regina said you were there in 96. And I was like, I don't know how you remember that. So I was there for at least 2 years before I officially volunteered.
Right.
So I started probably volunteering in 97. Wow. And I mean, 98.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well.
I think I was a little bit after that. But, I mean, I would have to go back and count. But it's been a couple of years, yeah.
14.
Okay.
Like that. Awesome. Wow.
Well, so, but now you are the director of Young Adult Lit, and
right.
just to clarify, and what is that? It's more than just the Harry Potter track, right?
Right. Well, we do programming for Harry Potter, and we include Harry Potter stuff in our programming, but we also do stuff related to other books and other book series for young people. I kind of look at my track as kind of between the ages of, I don't know, between 12 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the new Kaleidoscope track this year that's kind of filling the gaps between the little teeny ones and my track.
And the teens that are right between it, the ones that are still reading but also still watch iCarly and things like that. That's who I see for the Kaleidoscopes, yeah.
So, right, and she's kind of the younger end of the teen crowd, and I feel like I'm kind of the older end. Now, the funny thing is, a lot of these books that are marketed as young adult, like the Twilight series and the Harry Potter series,
mm-hmm.
and many, many, many others, just go in a bookstore and you'll see a huge section for young adult and teens. But if you look at the people who are buying those books, some of them are teenagers, but some of them are not. Some of them are middle-aged women. And some of them are, you know, much older and much younger. So it's kind of a wide range of ages. But I kind of pitch my programming to older teens and adults.
Cool.
And we cover, you know, anything that's literary, but also occasionally we have media guests when there are movies based on the young adult books that we cover, like Harry Potter and like Narnia and Twilight and so on. So we're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and by the way, kids, Narnia was actually a book written some time ago. Back
many
before
years, many
Harry
years
Potter.
Ago.
Yeah, before YA was really a category.
Yes.
The other thing I love about the YA is my son's a reader, and Bev, I know your daughter is already a reader.
Yes.
And these are good things. And John, your children are big readers as well.
Yeah,
so, the great thing I love about YA is whenever I've been able to, and sometimes her panels are right before my panels in a big room or a bigger room, so I get to actually sit in there and listen before. I've gotten lucky with a couple of years with that. I always hear some books that I can then kind of pimp to my child. Or my child's been with me and it has, like, as soon as it's over, gone, can we go buy that? And, you know, as a parent, hearing your kid go, can I go get that book, is a good feeling. So it's always a great
feeling. Yeah, it
really is. And you always get some really great ideas going to any of their panels. Even if you're like, oh, I don't know if they're really going to like young adult lit, maybe it's too much, it's not, da da da. They will always find something. It's not all Twilight. It's not all Harry Potter.
Oh, no. There's so much more out there.
Yeah, and you really can. And it's just, and you can find it for boys and girls, and just, it's wonderful, actually. So, yeah. So, please, if you do go to one, if you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I don't know if they can find a book, I'm telling you that you'll find something that you can get for a tween, a young adult, and they will love it, and they will love you.
And I mean, even if you come up to any of the staffers, I mean, we all read pretty widely, and if you come up and say, well, my daughter's read all the Twilight books, and we're kind of looking to branch out, I've got recommendations for you. If you need a new series to sink your teeth into, The Hunger Games
no pun intended.
Is really it's getting really, really big. Scholastic picked them up when the first book of the series came out. And now there's a movie series in the works. And anytime, something, and YA books, there are tons of movies based on YA books. Because, teenagers are, they have cash to spend. So,
Yes.
Movie people are like, well, they can market it to teens, but, mass appeal. But anyway, Hunger Games movie coming soon. So if you haven't read that series, it's by Suzanne Collins, and it's really good. Really, nice. Really good.
Very cool. So, yay!
Well,
that's awesome.
Let me ask you about your track this year. First of all, where are you located? Where's your home base?
We are located in the Marriott. Now, of course, this is, information that is always subject to change. What's the mantra, Lee?
All of the schedules are tentative, and everything about where we might be is tentative until it's there.
Until it's over.
Yeah.
Someone's been listening.
Okay, so anyway, tentatively, we are in the Marriott on the atrium level, room 707. So on the schedule, it'll say A707 Marriott.
A707 in the Marriott.
Yeah, okay. Yes,
cool. Sir. That's so if you're on the sky, if you're on the bridge, the walkway, is that up or down? Or is that right there?
It is straight across.
Straight across, okay.
And to your right.
All right, cool. Cool.
It's on the same level. I'm sorry?
It's really easy to find her, so it's very cool.
Oh, yeah. It's on the same level as the Pulse Bar. If you come across on the Habit Trail and go right instead of going left to the Pulse Bar, you'll find our track. If you go right past the Blood Drive, you will find our track. So in that same general area. Easy, easy to find.
So who are some of the guests you have this year?
Well, this year, our media guests, and usually we have, one or two or three media guests. This year with the last Harry Potter movie, the Harry Potter actors were kind of hard to come by this year because they're on the tail end of lots and lots of promotional things.
Right.
Which their movie company, has them under contract for. So this year, we tried for two other actors and it just didn't work out. But this year we've got Tom Felton,
nice.
Who plays Draco Malfoy.
And he's in the new Planet of the Apes.
Right, which, I'm hearing some things about.
I am too.
Even people who aren't a fan of that franchise, I've heard, say it's worth going to see. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's just a really cool individual. He did a thing on Conan, I want to say about a month ago, and Conan, sometimes he's funny, sometimes he's not, depending on whether you love him or hate him. But when Tom was on his show, he brought out some fan art that that was very flashy. And Tom kind of took it, he kind of rolled with it and made a joke out of it. And he's just really hard to ruffle, and he's such a gracious, he's so British, stiff upper lip and everything, but he's really a good guest. I like him a lot. But he's a major media guest this year, and author-wise, we've got, bunches of authors. I've also got, I kind of pitch our panels to young people, but also for teachers and librarians and parents who are looking for resources and looking for books to get their kids interested in reading. Or, like I said before, if your kid has read Harry Potter, what's next? What are some other books? So I have a lot of librarians and media people and media specialists, like school librarians and authors. So other than Tom, most of my guests are, booky people.
Cool. Now, let me... What panels are you looking forward to specifically this year as far as on your track? I know all of them have their own special place in your heart.
I love them all. They're like my children.
Right. But is there one?
I would say if you were going to pick one day to come to YA Lit panels, I would say Saturday is going to be your best day. Let me take a look and see at the schedule.
And I'll schedule it kind of until either after then.
I'm sorry?
I was just pointing out that all schedules are tentative until after they're done.
Yeah, no,
totally.
I'm not doing
hypothetically,
it.
These are scheduled for Saturday, but you just never know. Let's see. We've got two book club panel discussions where we've kind of posted the titles of the books and people read the books and then we get together and discuss them. One of them is a book by Lauren Oliver called Delirium. And it's kind of a futuristic society, which are, you know, dystopian novels are really big right now because of the Hunger Games. But anyway, it's a dystopian YA book where, like, love is considered a disease and the government has the cure. But anyway, we're going to read that.
Yeah, I just heard about this, I think, on NPR.
Oh, really? Well, Jason said there was an NPR thing, and I think he tried to call me and...
Yeah.
I just couldn't get to the song right then. But yeah, I'll have to look for that story. But anyway, Delirium is a good book. We're going to read it together and discuss it. Our other book club book, I think, is on Sunday. And it's a science fiction-y kind of, it's called Across the Universe. And the author's name is Beth Revis, who is coming to Dragon Con. So we've got one book club discussion where we're just going to discuss the book just amongst us and people who come to the convention. And this other one, Across the Universe, the author is going to be there, and we're going to discuss the book and, you know, tell her what we think of it. So hopefully people will have mostly nice things to say. But I think it's cool when the author's there, because you can say, now, what were you thinking? Was that the whole theme? Was there more that was supposed to be there that you cut? But anyway, I love those book club kind of discussions. We've also got Harry Potter-related stuff, like we've got a Harry Potter costuming panel. We've got a whole panel on the Hunger Games. Let's see. About 2 or 3 months ago, the Wall Street Journal published an article about what's appropriate for teens, like what is too dark for teens and what should really be considered adult material that, you know, some of these teen novels are, you know, edging up towards, you know, adult content. And the author kind of took the slant that YA is too dark and kids are experiencing things that really should be in adult novels. And the author kind of came across as a person who doesn't really read YA at all. It seemed like in the article that she just kind of interviewed a random mom who was in the bookstore and seemed kind of disgruntled. But I mean, if you read any young adult literature, the main ingredient in YA lit is hope. Hope for the future, hope for, you know, a better day, a better society. And there's been a lot of, you know, rebuttal from different YA authors about, you know, this person really didn't get her facts straight. So we've got a panel on, you know, what's appropriate for teens. We've got another panel on dystopian YA fiction. Always we've got the Yule Ball on Sunday night.
Woo-hoo!
That's kind of like our big... party night, and this year we're going with an all 80s theme, and we're gonna encourage people to wear kind of 80s costumes, and I mean you don't have to, but you can if you want, and we're gonna do 80s music for about the first hour, and then we'll just do regular, you know, modern music after that. But yeah, those are our biggies. And then, you know, Monday we kind of wind down a little bit. We have you know, two or three panels, and then it's, you know, back to real life. yeah, we've got a lot of good stuff planned this year. It's going to be, I think, best year yet.
Well, so if you're not in your panel room on Saturday, if nobody's on your panel room, I don't know what's going on. So
don't,
whatever.
Don't say that way.
Yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Somebody will be in there.
Somebody will be there. Oh, there always is. You know, it's one of those things about Dragon Con that you could put up a panel about virtually anything and you will pack the room.
It's only for curiosity.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's really weird. But we do have there are such a plethora of quality panels out there that's just a testament to the fact that everyone is passionate about something, I suppose.
There really is something for everybody. Even if you're not into science fiction, you can come and look at the costumes. If you're not into costuming or science fiction, there's even wrestling, robot battles.
Yes, exactly.
We've got everything.
We got everything. We got everything. And if I just, I, everybody says it, and I just, I always want to say it too, which is, folks, if you can't find something to do at DragonCon, then
you are not looking hard enough.
You're not even looking, because there's stuff all around.
You're not even looking. You got to open your eyes.
Sitting there and having a beverage of your choice and people watching can be one of the most fun things in the world to do at DragonCon.
Oh, I love that. I love that, to sit at the balcony and just watch people.
Oh, heck yeah.
Big fun, big fun.
Well, actually, so the question I was trying to get to was, is the
action. What am I looking forward to?
Yeah, hey, someone has been paying attention. Yes. What are you looking forward to that's not on your track? What can you get away from? If you could get away, what would it be?
If I could sneak away. Now, Carrie Fisher, we haven't had her at DragonCon before. So I really, really am going to try to sneak out and go see one of her panels. I don't know if I'll make it, but that's one of my goals. I saw her give a talk at a Star Wars convention. I think it was Celebration 2 or 3, like several years ago, and she is just hysterically funny. So I would love to hit one of her panels.
I would,
One of my favorite authors, Elizabeth Moon, is coming, and I don't think she's been in a couple of years. And I looked at the schedule, and I tried to figure out where I could catch her, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but she's one of my favorite authors that I'd really like to see. I don't know. I'm kind of sad that Nimoy canceled, because Shatner by himself, he's really not that funny.
I think you find him in a way to be funny. I think he'll figure out a way to be funny. I think, yeah. But I am sorry Nimoy canceled too, because I think he's just such a gracious man, and he was such
an
interesting
guy.
Shatner might find
he has a wide range of things that he does. Yeah. He's, you know, into art and, you know, fundraising, and he's just a really interesting individual. But I'll probably go to the Tom Selleck panels. Now, we have him on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, but he's not going to be at the convention on Monday.
Wow.
Which reminds me, I probably need to make a poster with that.
Yes.
But
that's actually really good for you to know, people. If you want Tom Felton's autograph, go to the Walk of Fame Friday.
You better go Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Because
he will not be there on Monday.
And he's not one of those that will discount his prices on Monday either, so...
No,
not so much.
Even if he was there, so
right,
so very cool. Okay,
go ahead.
Whoops,
No. Go ahead, Lee. It's you. You're up.
Is it my turn?
Yeah,
you sure?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, and I know we've asked you this before, but it was at least 2 years ago. So we're going to ask again, which is, you can have three guests come to con. They can be on your track or other tracks or whatever. They can be living, dead, but not zombies
or fictional.
And they can be fictional. It's fine. Who would you love to have come to DragonCon?
I didn't know they could be fictional.
We added that. A couple of podcasts.
My three
Polish
people,
yet.
And I listened to your podcast with Dan a couple of weeks ago, and I got to go with one of John's, J.K. Rowling, I think. You know, say what you will about her as an author. She's, you know, got more money than, you know, any other 50 billionaires combined.
Mm-hmm.
I think hearing stuff from her point of view would be just absolutely fascinating, because it's got to be so far from my sphere of reference that I think she'd just be intriguing to talk to. My other two are also authors. I would, you know, have a talk with the professor, J.R. Tolkien.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's really, other than Star Wars, of course, you know, being a kid of a certain age, most of us probably first fandom, but anyway, J.K. Rowling, J.R.R. Tolkien, and one of my favorite authors that I always go back to is Ursula K. Le Guin. I would pick her.
Yeah.
And being, you know, a woman writing hard science fiction I like Anne McCaffrey a lot, and I, the longer we do this DragonCon thing, that, you know, you get to meet people, and that's pretty cool. So I got to interview Anne McCaffrey one year. So I'm not going to pick her, but I would say Ursula K. Le Guin, because I don't know if she does conventions, because she's kind of more like the literary side of science fiction.
I think she might do WonderCon, but I think that's about the only one. I know other people have said that they would love to see her, and I think seeing other responses was she really only does maybe one.
Right, and she's getting up there.
Yeah, well, to that, and the other issue is she just, you know, she does the one she wants to do, which makes a lot of sense, which you get, so that's very cool. Okay, now your turn, John. We're going to share.
Well, I was gonna point out, that the J.K. Rowling thing, too, is, you know, I saw her interview on Oprah. It's one of the few times I actually watched Oprah.
Me too, which I don't normally do.
But she did feel...
Don't believe that about John.
To me, it felt very constrained. So I would actually like to see her in more of an open environment where she could speak her mind and say whatever she wanted to and be more, you know, on the fandom side too, not necessarily talking about her personal life, because everyone, you know, pretty much everyone knows the story, and she's mostly a private person to begin with. But just on the fandom side, to hear her thoughts on... You know, and frankly, I'm looking forward to Pottermore. So
me too. I got in as a beta tester.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so jealous right now.
They were doing a kind of promotion where you would log onto the site and they would post a clue.
Right.
Now they were at, you know, weird hours, so I had a friend who was on vacation, you know, watching for me. So she's like, "Okay, the clue's up right now. Go, go, go."
Go.
So I'm really looking forward to that too, and being able to, you know, see more, because, you know, people love these books. I love these books.
Well, on that vent, do you think,
and just to see, you know, what she's going to take this web platform, I'm hoping, to another level. I hope it's not just going to be, oh, here's an ebook, you can go and experience these books in a different way. I hope there's lots of more rich interactive content where you can, you know, go and, you know, do more Harry Potter stuff.
Well, let me say this about her too, and again, not that she needs any defending, but I was also critical of some of her writing, but the fact of the matter is you know, is, you know, we're critical of those we love the most, I guess. But the fact is that she did something that somebody hadn't done in probably a decade. Which, maybe more, which is got people to read again and got kids to read again, and got them excited about it. You know, see, the fact is that as a kid, I hated reading. I did. I mean, I was in theater and I would read scripts and I loved reading scripts and whatnot, but as for actual literature, I hated reading. And especially
did you read
if someone,
comic books at all?
Yeah. Oh, of course I read comic books.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not like I didn't read. It's not like I don't know how to read.
No, that's kind of reading.
It is. But the thing is that she did something, she made reading cool again, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's that for that alone, she deserves, you know, all the money that she got and more.
I agree. To me, she's kind of like what Stephen King is for adults. She is for children. Anything that gets people to read, I don't care how highbrow or lowbrow you think it is. If they're reading, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and really, I mean, think about how she changed publishing. Go in the bookstore and just stand there and look.
Right.
And you'll see her impact.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is she didn't just make reading cool, because there were still little books to read, but most of the kids' books you saw for that age were these 100-page little things. I mean, they weren't, you know, there were the classics that were longer, yes, but there weren't. And I've never, ever seen kids just have their nose in a 600-page book, and you'd be like, so you want to go outside? No. Shh. And, you know.
Right, and conventional wisdom said, you know, a kid won't read a 1,000-page book. There is no way a kid is going to read a 1,000-page book.
Oh, yes, not true. They will, and they won't talk to you. They will steal your copy when their father has stolen their copy. Yeah, trust me. And I think, John, the other thing I would love to, I think she might I think she's just, I don't know. As you said, she's private. But I think the other thing is there is something about being at Dragon Con. And I have seen it with guests who are like, what is this really going to be like? And with the people who come back year after year and like, let's get it on. I'm ready. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
They're around family. They're around people that are really because they love what the fandom and they love being at this kind of convention. And she would get a, it would be a very different vibe, I think, from them being on a talk show and having those kind of staged interview questions to just being up on a stage and just talking about whatever she wants to for 4 hours at, you know, an hour for two or three days or whenever, however many times she wants to do it. I think it would be, love having her as a guest. I think she would be very amazing.
It is, of course, pie in the sky dreaming, but, you know, whatever.
You know, it's pie in the sky dreaming, but people said that about Stan Lee. People said that about William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and Patrick Stewart. Sometimes you dream pie in the sky and you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
You just don't know.
You don't know. I mean, maybe she, you know, something's going to happen and Pottermore's going to be kicking ass and she wants to come and talk about it a little bit. Hey, I bet Bev would find a place for her.
Come on down. We have things.
Maybe.
I could make things.
Now Bev says, nah, never mind.
Nah. Okay, so, Bev.
Yes.
Con is over.
Yay!
We're tired.
Oh, wait. No.
It's done. We enjoyed it, but we're tired. So, you and I, because we're track directors, pretty much it's done Monday night. So, what are you doing Tuesday to wind down or to basically get some energy back?
Well, I wish I could take a spa day like some people I know do. I don't know who anybody who does that. I wish I could do that, but I, of course, have to work on Tuesday. But every fall, usually around the second or third week of September, a group of other teacher friends and I go up to a cabin in the woods in the North Georgia Mountains. And we don't take any husbands and we don't take any kids. And we go and we have beverages and we laugh and we watch stupid movies and we go shopping and we, you know, go to fall festivals in Blue Ridge and, you know, just enjoy each other's company. So Dragon Con sometimes is, I mean, Dragon Con is a fun time, but you and I both know, Lee, there is, it is like work.
It is work.
You know, and every time people go, oh, have fun at Dragon Con, dude, I'm working the whole time.
Honestly, I've actually had some people from work who have now, who come to Dragon Con, and they were like, when you said it was work, I didn't realize it. And I think I said this on a podcast already, as my mother a couple of years ago came, and she was like, I guess I didn't realize how hard you... Yes, I work. This isn't... I mean, I have a lot of fun. I see all my friends. I have a lot of fun. I enjoy the heck out of it. If you don't enjoy it, we're all volunteers.
But it is exhausting.
Yep.
It is. We're working the whole time.
Yeah.
And
actually,
you know...
What's really funny is even when I'm sleeping, it's... Because I'll wake up and I'll remember, oh, wait, I got to remember to do that tomorrow right before that panel. And I basically wake up and I sleep. When I sleep at the hotel, I have my laptop beside me and I have Notepad open. And I wake up and make notes.
Right. I just have something next to the bed because then you can let it go and go back to sleep.
And then I try to get back to sleep. Otherwise,
you'll
I'll just
be thinking of it all night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, me too.
So, yeah. Yeah, we're dead. That's it. So yes, but that's awesome. So that's good though. You do get a girl weekend and get to just de-stress.
I do get a girl weekend, but it's usually about, you know, I've had time to do my after action con reports and work a 4-day week, and then I have a little time off.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, John, your turn.
Well, actually, let me ask you this. Where can people find more info? Where can people find... Why am I saying sorry to you? I dropped something. You guys couldn't see it. Why am I saying apologizing to you? I have no idea.
What you were saying sorry for. I was like, you didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, where can people find more info on your track and get your schedule? Oh, by the way, Lee, is your schedule up yet?
Bite me.
Seriously, Lee?
No, I don't.
What the heck is wrong with you, woman? People need the info. Okay?
They will get it.
People need the info.
You answer his question first, and then I will be interrogated.
Okay, John, to answer your question, if you go to yalit.dragoncon.org, on our website, we have a link to our Twitter and our Facebook, and our we even have a live journal, and you know, I think we even may still have a MySpace somewhere out there in Sutherland.
Oh my God!
I don't think we've actually ever disabled it, but I think it's still out there. But anyway, if you go to our webpage, on the left-hand side, we have links to every social media you can think of, and some we don't even use anymore.
Do you have
it's all on there.
Do you have some MySpace up there?
Let me look. Okay, there's Twitter. Let me see if it still connects. Do you see YA Lit on MySpace?
There is?
There is.
It is. It's still here. Okay, so we have like...
Well, you know, Justin Timberlake put some money in.
Yeah. That's exactly.
We have 137 friends. Thank you very much. Anyway, it's still on there. I probably need to just get in there and kill that. But anyway, yeah, we're out there.
Did you want to harass me?
Now, MySpace, folks, for those kids that don't know, it was the thing before Facebook.
Yeah, way before.
Put up their acoustic soundtracks
All right, so Lee, where's your schedule?
On our track website, if you click on the one that says schedule, you can see our schedule for 2011. And I believe it's in a Google Doc.
You know what? I'm really going to enjoy
it. It's in a Google Doc so people can easily access the information.
Boy, I'm going to really enjoy my spa day. I was feeling guilty. Not anymore. Okay, so here's my deal.
Because people did actually mention it on Facebook. Why does Extract put theirs up?
Yes, they do. Where did they really actually put that up this week?
Somebody did, yes. Somebody asked if anyone knew where to find the Extract schedule, and they pointed out, they said, well, according to the podcast, which she's a host on, she doesn't put it up.
She doesn't put it up. All right, so here's the deal. If the program is not out a week before con, which will be next Thursday night, I will go then.
Wow.
If it's not up by next Thursday night, I will put it up. Here's why I don't do it. I have done it in the past, and I had the big tentatives and drafts and
I know.
Subject to change, and I literally, after a very two long days where I think I did not get much sleep because there were just lots of things going on. Nothing bad, but just lots of stuff going on.
Right.
I literally had two people screaming at me because things got changed and calling me a liar and everything else. And I went, yep, never doing it again.
Dude, this is my hobby, okay?
And so,
this is my hobby.
And John knows this. Last year I did actually put it up because the Pocket program did get a little delayed. Because they were trying to do the app and they were trying to see what they could
do.
So I did put it up then. And I said, if it ever happened again, and I will do it a week before con. And I will do it that way.
It's okay, honey. It's okay, honey.
I got things moved this year up until a week ago.
Right. And mine is up there. But, you know, actually, somebody was messing with me about a month ago. And I said, you know what? All of those other tracks who have all of their stuff posted, like in July... Go back now, and you will see all the changes.
And
I'm not
going to
put my schedule up until I feel like it's sort of semi-solid.
And mine has and
as
the big
solid
reason
as
me,
it can be.
Well, and you and I, and we've talked about this as track directors as well, is especially for guests. Let's give examples. If Tom Felton gets a acting gig, and he can't be there on Friday. No, this is not happening, folks. This is hypothetical. So Tom Felton, he can't be there on Friday, but he is going to change his dates and come Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Still going to do 3 days. DragonCon is going to do everything we can to help make that reality.
I have a story about that. One year, we were supposed to get... Oh, we've had so many different actors planning to come, and we scheduled programming around them, of course. There was one year that, the guy who plays Victor Crumb in the Harry Potter movies.
I can't remember his name.
And we were doing the Friday Harry Potter media panel, and I think, I can't remember who the moderator was, but they were there in the room that the panel was supposed to be going on, and it was like Friday early morning, back before we had 10 o'clock. I think it was Friday 11:30 panel. And I get a call on my cell phone, and they're like, where's Crumb? Crumb's not here. We need Crumb. People are sitting in the chairs. We don't have Victor Crumb. Where the hell is he? And, of course, I call David, who calls Pat, who calls who knows who else.
That's right.
And apparently his flight, either there was a miscommunication that his flight was delayed, or he wasn't coming in until Friday afternoon. So that kind of sang and danced and said, you know what? We got another panel tomorrow. And they talked about the rest of the schedule. So we kind of filled it with, you know, promote the track, yada-da-da-da-da. And, you know, people were disappointed, but, you know, there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. And I have the same kind of thing. A couple of years ago, the Ghost Hunters were supposed to be a Friday, kind of like an 11:30 or 1 o'clock panel, and their flight got delayed. They were coming in. There was a storm between us and wherever they were flying from. I want to say New York, but their flight got delayed, and I had to tell a room of about 1,500 people that, nope, didn't have them. And what was really awful, and this is why I tell people don't just buy a one-day pass, is because you don't know what's going to happen, especially on a Friday. Because there was one woman there who was like, I only bought a one-day pass. And I'm like,
I'm sorry, ma'am. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, and I just told them I needed Delta, and then everybody cheered. That's when there were all the problems going on with Delta and the unions and Delta not being very good. So I was like, I really dislike Delta, and everybody was like cheering. And I'm like, all right, so y'all might be cheering for a different reason than you think. But yeah, so I mean, it happens. But the reason I'm giving the Tom Felton story is if something happened and that happened, and they said to me, Lee, I'm going to need to move your warehouse 13 panels on Monday to different places because we've got to have your room for Tom Felton, what am I going to say? I'm not going to pitch a fit. I mean, that's just, of course you are.
There's no point to it because
you're
going to move them and then they're going to tell you. Now, sometimes Regina will call and say, I'm thinking of moving this. Which would you prefer, this or this? Or sometimes you'll just go in the database and they will be all rearranged. And there's nothing we can do about it.
And it's not.
That's not something we control.
Right. Well, and it's not even the people who do control it are doing it because there's only so much space, and you got to.
And it's for the needs of the convention, so we just got to roll with it, people. It's all good. It's not like you don't have five other things you could be doing right now.
That's why you're going to bring your highlighters, and you're going to have that pocket program,
exactly.
And you're gonna have the one color, the number in yellow, and then the other colors. I'm old school, John. I don't want it on an app.
I thought that was just me.
No, I want a pocket program, baby. And then my pink one is my second choice, and my green one is my third choice. And actually, I say that, but that's not true anymore. That's what my son does now. That's how I trained him to do it. So.
Awesome.
He does do that.
Now, I have my schedule, the things that I feel like I have to be in the track room for.
Yep.
And then I have a wee one who is five now. Last year, we went to Brandy's Young Jedi training.
Yep.
And she had a blast. And this year, kindergarten baby. You know, there are tons, like Kaleidoscope Track is doing like a costumed character meet and greet. So I'm going to have two schedules, actually three. I'm going to have stuff that I'm dying to do. I'm going to have my programming. I've got like my own little mini convention here in my track room.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff I can't miss. And then, of course, I've got Eleanor's schedule. And, of course, we have to work around Jason's schedule, too. It is a huge juggling contest.
It is a huge juggling contest. And actually, that's why my husband has taken a sabbatical from being on staff.
It's really a good idea.
Well, and it he wasn't a director, and we kind of talked about it. And he was like, no, you're staying, and I'm going. I'm like, oh, man. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, actually. It was giving me a lot of sense.
When do I get a break? What is it about me? No, I don't really feel
like that. And our son still likes us. He's still at the age. We only have a few more years of this where he might like us.
I know. So I'm going to milk it for every minute, baby.
And so they go around and do stuff, and then we make sure we have breakfast and dinner together. And so we all talk about what went on during the day. And a lot of the stuff I do on my track, my son already wants to be there. And now my son is being a panelist. He's sitting in on two panels with me.
Awesome.
So he's talking about tower prep, and he's talking about shows you can watch all together as a family. So.
Excellent. Now, you know, remind me next year, I used to do a panel when I had some younger staffers. I used to do a panel with actual live teenagers.
Yes.
And about, you know, what they like and what they're reading. And it was like young adults on young adult books. And remind me next year and we will hook him up. Like Blake,
yes, Blake.
David Cassie's son used to be a panelist for me. And now he's a grown adult. How time flies.
Well, and there's still people that all of a sudden he was like standing beside me and somebody came up to me and goes, so where's your baby? And I went, there. And they were like, no, that little tiny one. And I was like, yeah, there, that's it, right there. He's 12, he's 11 now. And she was just like, I didn't realize that much time flies. But it's, they're growing up at Con, which is awesome. And John, that means we need to start seeing yours.
How old are your kids, John?
11 and 7.
11 and 7. Okay, yeah, we have programming for them now.
My daughter just had her Harry Potter party just recently.
Awesome!
Because
I love that.
Because she turned 11, so she had her Harry Potter party.
So she got the letter.
Awesome.
Yes. So she
did. She get her letter and you know the Hogwarts stamp and everything.
Oh, she planned the whole thing. There was a whole thing in my house. She put it all together. We had challenges, the whole nine yards.
I love it.
Oh, it was pretty cool.
I love you.
You know, we haven't done that in a couple of years. We used to do the whole big sorting ceremony, and, you know, then you divide into houses. We need to bring that back next year. That was so fun.
That was always fun,
Thanks for that reminder. That was fun.
Well, this has been a fun podcast, as always. So thank you for being on. Can't wait to see you soon. Yay!
I know. I'll see you in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See you at the meeting.
See you, Lee.
Yes.
Yeah. John, no, you're not going to see John. No.
John, not so much, but Lee, I'll see you very soon.
But I will make sure you see John at Con, because he's going to be where you're going to be Thursday night.
Okay.
Oh.
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, she hangs out there too, huh?
Yes, she does.
You know, I try to make it every year, and last year I was just too slow. We were setting up the track room and stuff. But
it's okay.
I'm
Lee was
pregame, and then I'll meet you there, so save me a seat.
You missed Lee hitting on everybody. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Okay, you need to take that off this podcast.
That's not true. It wasn't everybody. It was just James Marsters. No, wait. It was just, who was it?
I will get you later. I will.
Of course you will.
I know where you live. I know your Skype name. Ha-ha. I get you.
All right. Before Lee crushes me, for Lee, Bev, and the rest of the guys at the Unique Geek, until next time, folks, peace.
Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This has been a production of the Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow the Geeks on Twitter. @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.